Please have a seat. Well, there go those disciples again. James and John, the sons of thunder, as Jesus called them in the third chapter in the Gospel of Mark, trying to edge out all the other apostles. Teacher, they say, stepping right up to Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. How arrogant of them to be so bold as to ask to sit at Jesus' side in glory. The nerve. All the other apostles react angrily at this moment. It seems these two brothers are stepping way out of line from the other disciples. When I look at commentaries on today's gospel reading, I heard echoes of the same assessment. These two guys are trying to assume divinity, claiming title, seeking privilege. But then I go back to the text, and I read it again, slowly, carefully, and I wonder, is that what's really going on here? In this period of our common life, we're getting a lot of messaging about people wanting to be put into high leadership positions. I frequently hear people speak negatively about those in high leadership positions. Things like, the leaders are out of touch with the regular people. They're quite full of themselves. They just want to be big, important people for its own sake, and they forget about us everyday folk. I feel like we're kind of primed to look with suspicion upon those who desire to be placed in leadership roles. Maybe we're right and maybe we're wrong to do so, but it feels like those experiences influence how we read stories like the one in today's gospel. James and John are trying to rise above simple followerhood to enter into positions of leadership. Their ambition should strike us as unusual, not because they're stepping out of line from the other apostles, but because of what happened just before this reading begins. Jesus foretells his death again, for the third time. There should be no question about the pain and discomfort yet to come, and yet, these two guys are trying to get to the front of the line. We mimic our disdain with what James and John have asked from the response of the other apostles. They're angry and perhaps offended, and so are we. Commentators argue the other disciples are angry because they regard James and John as arrogant or power-hungry. Christians frequently read the experiences of the 12 in ways that cast them in unflattering light. We say things like, I would never have betrayed Jesus, honestly, Peter. Or, I would never have abandoned Jesus on the cross, come on, guys. Or, I would never have doubted, shame on that Thomas. But don't we all present these and other character flaws in our faith journey from time to time? How bad is it really to catch a glimpse of a couple disciples experiencing a moment of great spiritual clarity and actually getting to the core of the teachings of Jesus? I'm not convinced that James and John are as bad as some have argued, and here's why. First, James and John don't seem rattled by either the revelation of Jesus' impending death, which by the third time Jesus tells them would have given them plenty of time to decide if this is indeed the cup they wish to drink from. Secondly, James and John are unapologetic to the other disciples for stepping out of the status quo. They don't even acknowledge the anger of the other apostles. Even after Jesus clarifies the details of the sacrifice, it's not wine in that cup, and the baptism they're asking for is not going to wash them clean, James and John don't revise their ask. They don't add qualifiers or change their mind. In fact, they affirm their willingness and readiness to accept these terms. The other disciples' reaction, and perhaps our contemporary norms, has set the stage for our response to James and John. Curiously, James and John don't get into a debate or an argument or become defensive at the reaction of the other 10. They make their ask, they receive their response, and then that's it. And that's what's got me thinking. What if James and John are not being toxically ambitious? What if it's clear to them what's involved in the sacrifice of sitting at Jesus' side in glory? Could these guys actually be examples of taking on the leadership role in good ways? Rather than cast the scene as James and John being greedy and impetuous, I wonder if we could describe this scene as rising above mediocrity and simply coasting along to live into the call of life as a partner with Jesus in the ministry of justice and peace and the way of love and sacrifice and compassion in the world. What if James and John are modeling for us what the apex of discipleship looks like? Recall that James and John were among the first followers of Jesus. They were the ones who were willing to walk away from their family's fishing business on little more than a grand promise. That takes nerve. We can infer by their immediate and unquestioning response to Jesus' call that they understood the vision of the kingdom of heaven from the beginning. These are two of the three disciples Jesus took with him to the mountaintop to witness the transfiguration. Clearly, Jesus saw leadership qualities in them. Today, they present their ask of Jesus clearly and concisely. Unlike the roundabout ways others question Jesus, trying to mask what they actually have in mind in ways that are vague and sometimes misleading, James and John are refreshingly forthright and direct, finally. As Jesus points out to them, no, they really don't know what it is they're asking. How can they? But they're willing to take a risk, to step out in faith that this kingdom of heaven that Jesus keeps going on about is worth the risk. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth stepping into the unknowable. Are they able to drink the cup that Jesus drinks or be baptized with the baptism that Jesus is baptized with? Yes, they are, by their own admission and with the same clear assertiveness that they are both willing and able. Will they, though, when the time comes? That remains to be seen. But right here, right now, this is pure trust, pure faith. It's the faith that springs from the deepest well of the soul. This moment should stir up in the other 10 disciples a sense of awe rather than anger. There ought to be joy in witnessing two of their own coming and committing to taking the next step on the journey of faith. This should give us hope and inspiration for our own faith journey. Jesus is clear that leadership in the way of love is a life of service to others. It's counterintuitive to the dominant cultural paradigm. The socio-political norm is accustomed to domineering leaders who lord their power over others. The 10 apostles aren't wrong in their presumption that those seeking leadership roles do so for selfish reasons. They're simply stuck in that presumption. As soon as James and John step up to engage discipleship at a deeper level, they are immediately presumed to be doing so in order to dominate, to lord over, and to behave tyrannically in those positions. When Jesus steps aside to instruct the other 10, he's helping them to see with better clarity what's happening right in front of them. James and John are about to embody what life in the way of love is all about. This isn't about exerting dominance to selfishly enjoy ill-gotten gains. It's about humble service emanating from a faith that springs from the deepest well of the soul. The reward of such leadership benefits many people. Truly, the kingdom of heaven is worth the sacrifice. It's worth stepping out in faith, even though we can't know the future. Certainly, certainty is not the point. The point is about rising above mediocrity and simply coasting along for the purpose of making justice and peace and the way of love more available to many, many others. It's this faith that Jesus sees in James and John and gives them the boldness to volunteer to lead. And it's this faith that God will sustain them in their ministry. I'd like to give James and John the benefit of the doubt. Not because I like to see things from different angles, but because reading this gospel passage in this way can inspire us all to step into the unknown of leadership with the faith in the kingdom of heaven that's worth it. Because it is. And that's the good news.